This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello, and welcome to David's Book Talk. Today we're going to talk to Kathy Garver. Yes, she's the ex-child star. And she has written a book called Ex-Child Stars, Where Are They Now? And I've been reading it right before this interview, fascinated by this thing. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, David?
Hi. You're a very busy woman.
Yes. Well, you know, our ex-child stars, we just go on and transition and do many, many things.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you were on Family Affair, right?
Right, yes. And I chronicled that in my second book, which was Surviving Sissy, My Family Affair of Life in Hollywood.
So, I mean, this book is absolutely fascinating. I was just reading about the different Strokes kids and all the, I mean, a lot of these shows I watched as a kid, so it's fascinating to read about what they're doing today. You think?
Yes, we took the television shows from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and the child stars that starred in those particular series. That were very prominent at the time, and laid out how they got into the business and their starring roles, and now what they're doing.
It's interesting because a lot of them don't stay in the business, have not stayed in the business at all, and you know they kind of drifted off after their shows were done with their popularity. I'm looking at, I was just reading about Lori Hendler, who I used to watch on game shows when I was younger. very smart woman. She kind of disappeared after that. You didn't really see.
Well, it's a difficult transition for a lot of the child stars because so many of them are hired because they're natural and they're cute, and really all they have to do is hit their lines and say them correctly and look good. But then when they become tweeners and they start losing that adorableness, then it becomes more difficult because so many of them have not studied acting, per se. And you just can't take that naturalism to the next step and develop different characters and really be a competent actor.
Right.
So a lot of them kind of fade away because they can't make that big transition and they don't go to school or college.
Right. Now, you have made a pretty good success of yourself. Now, did you have, were there drugs around when you were filming your TV show? I mean, were there temptations like there were for any others?
Not on our series. This was a very family-oriented show, Family Affair, and we had two small children, and then me, Sissy, the teenager, and it was very not even a PG, it was a very G-rated set. So those temptations were really not around for me. I was very lucky, and I never took drugs. I drink. I live in Northern California, and I go to Napa and go wine tasting a lot. But the real hard drugs, you know, really weren't there. And in my book, I think you will see as you continue to read how a lot of the kids that did, you know, bottom out or unfortunately commit suicide, even like the little girl on my show, Anissa Jones,
right,
did take drugs and could not get off drugs and suffered from addiction.
Right. Were you close to her before she died?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We were really good friends. And unfortunately, for her 18th birthday, I was invited to her 18th birthday party, and her mother took me aside and said, Kathy, could you please spend a little bit more time with Anissa because I think she's in the wrong crowd? And I said, I would love to, but I'm leaving the next day for 2 months to go do a musical back east. I absolutely will get, you know, in touch with her. And it was during that 2 months when she took an overdose.
Oh, how horrible.
Yes. Just awful. And she was, you know, such a bright, wonderful little girl with a terrific inner spirit. and with the wrong crowd. And again, that adjustment factor, very difficult.
Well, when you look at like a show like Different Strokes, who it seems like all the kids on that show have had problems. It's amazing. I mean, you have shows where not, most of the kids are okay, but then you have a show like Different Strokes. What happened with the kids on Different Strokes? I mean, they just kind of self-destructed, all of them. It seemed like.
Well, I do like a summation at the end of X Child Stars, Where Are They Now? And I address some of the factors that I think that go into making a successful transition from a child star to an adult, whether they stay in the business or not, or how some of them really suffer. A lot of it has to do with the family support system, and if the parents don't use them as a personal bank, and use everything that the child makes for their own behest, and then when the child is 18, the child has nothing. And the drugs, all those kids were on drugs.
Yeah.
And led the wrong way. And so there, it's the peer pressure, it's, you know, how to deal with all this stress of being in the business. And unfortunately, the drugs seem to be a lot of the answer.
I like the fact that you tell how many episodes there were of all the different series. That's really interesting. Some of you didn't realize they went on for that long, you know. It's like, because shows get so old so quickly, especially nowadays. It's like 4 or 5 years and they're done. And they already announced, well, this is going to be our last season. And they didn't used to do that. Used to, you know, Roseanne went, what, 8 or 9 seasons? I'm looking at
right,
Roseanne.
Right, yes. And we also, when we first started way back in the 60s, we were shooting like 38 episodes we started out with. Now, they only do maybe 22 episodes per season and then rerun them and rerun them. Yes, in the book we say, you know, encapsulate what were the television series itself, what it representative and a byline for it and some of that information before we get into the stars and what happened to them.
Right. I'm looking at the picture of the cast from Roseanne. They're such great color pictures in here. I mean,
thank you. Yeah, my publisher, you know, a lot of books don't have, I don't know whether it's the extra expense or whatever, but I really wanted the color pictures, and they only start coming in until the last half, because like Family Affair was one of the first television series in color. And we had the kaleidoscope to make sure that people recognize that. So the first part, they are black and white pictures because the series were black and white.
Right. Now, I should mention it's by Taylor Trade. That's the publisher, just so everybody knows.
Yes. And Taylor Trade. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a, I mean, there's so many wonderful things in the book, just reading all these different, I love the picture of the Land of the Giants. I was just thinking last night I wanted to get that on DVD. It's one of the few shows they don't show on TV right now, and I don't know why. It's
well, now that was one that didn't last, a long time. The shows had to go at least 3 years before they could put them in syndication.
Right.
And when Family Affair was 3 years old, then, okay, let's start syndicating this. But there's so many outlets now with Hulu and Roku and Family Affair was on MeTV. I hate to say this, David, but it is the 50th anniversary of Family Affair this year.
Wow,
very
really?
Odd since I'm 39. Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Well, you look so young on the back cover here.
I do look young, and that really hasn't been retouched, even.
Really? That is really you today? People are like, well, that must be an old picture of her or something, you know, but it's not. That's really you today.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, and you sound so healthy and happy now.
I am, very much so. I'm in L.A. and staying with my good friends, Dan Gilvezan and his wife, Giselle, and he was my Spider-Man to my Firestar and in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. He is like the preeminent voiceover artist in Los Angeles and was on Transformer. So I'm sitting in their beautiful backyard, they call the Tiki Land, with their Chinese silk chickens roaming about in the valley.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun, actually.
It is. It's great. I'm so enjoying myself and very happy to talk with you.
Now, how many of these child stars have you actually met over the years?
Well, you know, that's why the book was kind of easy to write, because I knew so many of them personally. And we would just chat over, a glass of wine or a cup of coffee or whatever. So I got to know them on a very casual basis. And when you're talking with someone in a casual atmosphere, I think it's much different than when you're sitting down and doing an interview with them. So I knew maybe almost three quarters of them.
Really?
Yeah, or my friends. And there's a Facebook page that is called the Ex-Child Star Secret Society page. And so we, you know, text back and forth and communicate that way and get together. And so it's a community.
It's interesting that Patty Duke's in the cover and she just died. I didn't even know she had died. And that was very sad because she hadn't looked really good before she died. I mean, I'm seeing her online thinking, wow, she doesn't look all that great. She looks kind of frail. And then what a tremendous talent she was. I mean, there was just no end to her talent. I mean, it seemed like she just kept, I mean, she stayed on TV for years and years and years and still, I think, was doing, she did an episode of a TV series recently. It was Hawaii Five-0. I can't remember what it was. One of those CBS shows, but I can't remember which one. But
yes.
And I'm watching her on, of course, Match Game and all the game shows she was on, and she was perfect for that. I mean, just an amazing woman. And starting from an early age, a miracle worker, which was, wow, one of the best things she ever did. I mean, amazing.
Well, yeah, I think she got the Academy Award,
right?
For that. And she was a very good friend of mine. She actually wrote the foreword for my book, Surviving Sissy.
Really?
My Family Affair of Life in Hollywood. And I played her friend Monica on the Patty Duke Show. That is when I actually first met her. And we stayed friends ever since then.
Oh,
I actually did a movie with her son, Sean Astin, last year that will be released this year called Unleashed. But, yes, yeah, she had been sick for a while, a couple years. But she was a very brave soul and a wonderful spirit.
Wow. Yeah, so much life in her. So much, just an interesting person.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting. So did you sit down with some of the child stars before, right while you were writing the book too? I mean, did you meet with some of them?
No, I did not. I have been blessed with an incredible memory. Thank you, God. Thank you, whomever. Thank you, genes. And so I can really remember almost anything. And so I have very good recall. So when I was with these my friends, I just recalled the setting, and then they recall them, and then recalled what they said. I had done some interviews previously with them on film for Celebrity Giving, which was a show that I was doing and interviewed, like, on tape, Angela Cartwright and Tony Dow and Stanley Livingston and Barry Livingston and, you know, my friends. And so I had actually tape, if I wanted even so, to remind me of something about them. And I also did a show called Backstage with Barry and Kathy, where we interviewed John Provost and Paul Peterson that I had previously done. So I was able to call some of the better statements or, you know, get the whole sense of them from those previous on-camera interviews.
I should also mention Fred Asher is your co-author of this book. I don't think I mentioned him earlier. He's probably thinking, why are they not mentioning me?
Yes, and Fred is great. Fred wrote all the blurbs about the TV shows, and I wrote all the profiles of the child stars.
Well, it looks like he's a TV addict, just from the I'm reading.
Well, he is, and he's a fan. And so it was interesting to have that perspective from a person that was doing it and then from a fan perspective. And he loves television, and he can tell you episodes and things about people that and get it from a different point of view than I would be talking about. And
right.
He says, oh, you have to add that about, you know, a particular person or whatever.
Oh, so, I should have.
Yeah,
We should have had him on the show, too.
Yes, you know, maybe in some of the other interviews, I think that's a good idea. Thanks, David. You know, we could have a conference call interview because he's got a lot to add. And he's very funny. He's a good guy.
Looking at his picture, he looks like he would be a fun guy.
Very much, and he's not even a mushroom.
Now, Paul Peterson, you just mentioned Paul Peterson. What is this minor consideration? What exactly is that?
A minor consideration is a nonprofit organization that Paul started, I would say, maybe even 20 years ago. and it primarily helps out child labor laws, and not only for actors in the entertainment field, but whatever child is being taken advantage of. He was able to institute a law called the Coogan's Law, which now, it's named after Jackie Coogan. When Jackie Coogan was like the number one like star in Hollywood, he was making millions of dollars, and then when he was an adult, had not a penny to his name. His parents had spent everything. So this was such a horrible thing to happen to a diligent child star. So they set up now a Coogan Law, and every child that works in film or TV, etc., has to have a certain percentage of their earnings set aside in an account at a bank and not to be touched until they are 18.
Well, that's great.
So, yeah, so they have really helped. But now we find, and this is an ongoing organization, Paul has kind of stepped down a little bit and is a consultant, and Scott Schwartz and Allison Arngrim, do you know who she is?
Oh, yeah, I've interviewed her, yes.
Wonderful. Oh, yeah, she's great.
She's an amazing woman.
Yes, I love Allison. We just did a book signing together in Palm Springs. That's just fabulous, and she was signing her Confessions of a Prairie Bitch, and I was signing my ex-child star book.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, she is. She's absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely no filter at all. Just lets it all out. And it's so refreshing. You can't help but just love her for it, because she's not afraid to say what she feels.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, she had one of the most classic characters, Nellie on Little House on the Prairie, and just ran with it. I mean, just made a career out of it, and it's just fabulous to watch her. It's just fun.
Well, so many people do that. I mean, you take Larry Thomas, the soup Nazi. He has a book out now, a cookbook. I think it's called No Soup for You.
Right.
And he made that one line in that one episode and went with it. Don Wells, you know, is forever Marianne. And I think she has a new book out. And so if one really makes this definitive character, it can. Now I'm still talking about Sissy after 50 years. But, you know, the technology helped boost that along.
And it's interesting. Yeah. And it's interesting because Gary Coleman, according to the book, your book had made about $70,000 an episode. But I'm sure you made a lot less on Family Affair.
Yes, we did.
But what do child stars make nowadays, and what did they make then? It couldn't have been a whole lot then.
Well, it depends. Usually, if they can, and it's an unknown and a little child that hasn't done much, they will just give them SAG minimum, the Screen Actors Guild minimum for a principal player,
mm-hmm.
and they start them out with that. And, you know, usually a small child without a name or anything will, and their parents know, they're happy to get that. And then they have the residuals and the foreign things and, you know, that goes on. So it goes from the minimum, and then when they start making money to, you know, sky's the limit.
Exactly. Like the kids I'm sure that kid on Modern Family's making a lot per episode, because that show is just out of this world popular. So once the popularity comes, I know a lot of times they sign like 5-year contracts, and then after 5 years they renegotiate. But then, you know, they're set for that 5 years. They can't really make much more than that in the show anyway. But, you know, it's kind of
usually, yeah, there's an option on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
To either pick it up for the next year or renegotiate. So it's actually just, I think, just a year.
But
that serves both people.
Right, exactly. What amazes me is you watch some of these shows and the kids, their timing is right on, and you think, well, how did they get them to say these lines? So, and how do they remember their lines, and how do they do that?
Well, first of all, I think that the child's mind is pretty, it's like a sponge. And, you know, just physiologically and anthropologically, here they're just growing, and they have given this kind of brain that is absorbing everything at that particular time in their life. So, one, you know, they're open, and it's easier for children to memorize for those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then, two, they have a dialogue coach, and that will go over their lines with them. And three, usually they have hired a good director that knows how to work with kids, and knows how to hopefully get the best out of them.
Right. Did you have any trouble remembering your lines on Family Affair?
No. I've been very blessed with a good memory, good recall. So my sister, I was just telling Dan and Joselle, my sister graduated at, started UCLA at 15, graduated at 19, and she had a total photographic memory. So it helps. If a child, though, does have problems in memorization, they either have to work with them, or if it just turns out they simply cannot learn the lines, that's why they have the year option. Then they're replaced.
Right.
Then many children, and sometimes they're written out, and then they're replaced by someone. Well, what happened to that first kid? And it's never even acknowledged.
Right. Now, who do you keep in contact with today? I mean, who are you really good friends with who was a child star right now?
Well, I just saw Stan Livingston, my friend, from My Three Sons, yesterday. He and his wife just sold their house in Laurel Canyon and went into a 55-plus retirement place, beautiful, like it's resort living, close to Palm Springs.
Oh, good for
So
him.
I stay in contact with him. And actually, we are going to have a minor consideration fundraiser with Child Stars Past and Present in August in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. So there will be a lot of them there. But I see a lot of the child stars all the time. Like I mentioned that Alison Arngrim and I did that finding last month. And,
right.
John Provost is a good friend of mine. He lives up in Northern California. So and Paul Peterson and Stanley Livingston and Sherry Alberoni, that was Sherry the Mouseketeer. We just put on event about 3 weeks ago called Dying with the Stars. And so I see quite a lot of the time.
So it sounds like you have a fun life now.
Oh, I do. As old as I am, I have a 25-year-old son who is living in the basement with his girlfriend. So they are a lot of fun. And I'm very busy. I'm doing another book, two other books that will be out, and I'm going to be doing a play. I'm doing a documentary of the 50th anniversary of Family Affair. I'm working on two movies, helping to produce. And I teach voiceover in San Francisco. So, yeah, I'm a busy girl.
I hear birds in the background there.
Yes, the birds are singing because I'm in Tiki Land at Dan and Giselle's house.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In California, yeah.
Well, now you have two more books coming. I'll have to talk to you again when you have more time. It's been so great to talk to you.
Yes, I'd love to do that. Thank you, David. And I appreciate talking with you. And if anyone would like to get my books, they can go to Amazon, of course, .com, or to Taylor Trade. Or if they want an autographed copy of Surviving Sissy or My Family Affair Cookbook or my newest, The Ex-Child Stars, Where Are They Now? They can go to my website.
Wonderful.
And that's easy. It's KathyGarver.com, KathyGarver.com.
Wow, that is great. That's very succinct, and I couldn't have said it any better.
Well, maybe you could have, but I was thinking, well, this is a little self-serving, Kathy.
No, but you're very easy to talk to, and you're fun. So you know what you're talking about, which is nice. So that's very cool.
Thank you.
And this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.